Hello, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. Joining me in studio today is Nick Cowan.
Hello.
And surprise, surprise, Lungelo is back, replacing Clinton as a regular.
I was here last week, right?
Yes, I know, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Two for two.
Yeah.
Usually you
You're
come
making
on.
This a habit now.
Not bad.
Usually you come on and then you disappear.
For 5 months. Yeah.
Well, it does help, maintain your air of mystery.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't be too predictable, so yeah.
So, rough week last week, given that we didn't have a public holiday.
No.
To break it off.
We didn't. The next one's in September, I think.
Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesdays are the best days for public holidays.
No, because it's funny. A nice. Then on Thursday, it feels like a damn
Monday.
And then Friday feels like a damn Tuesday. And like,
but it's actually Friday.
What the hell?
Surprise! Get two Tuesdays and two Fridays in 1 week. I think that's pretty awesome.
Anyway.
Yeah, so last week.
Yes.
You were playing a game.
I was playing a couple of games, as a matter of fact. The first one I played was Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
Yeah.
Which is, now you can obviously see Lungelo turning off because I knew you and your games. I refuse to recognize you, honorable member.
I'll try.
Well, basically, it's about, if you imagine Indiana Jones, except you're playing Indiana Jones rather than watching Indiana Jones, that was essentially the Uncharted series.
Sounds fun.
And this marks a bit of a departure because instead of the usual protagonist in Uncharted, who's Nathan Drake, you have two female protagonists instead who were sort of side characters in Uncharted 2, 3, and 4 and now take center stage in this thing called The Lost Legacy.
So is it a completely new game or is it...
It started life as DLC for Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
And then after a while, they realized they had enough for essentially a full game. Now, when I say a full game, Uncharted fans would possibly argue that it's not a full game because Uncharted campaigns can run anywhere between 14 to 16 hours. This one you can clock in 8. So it's roughly half the length of a normal Uncharted campaign, but it is being sold at half price.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So it's not like they're giving you money for old rope here and saying and it's AAA full price collector's edition rubbish. And it's also a pretty decent entry into the series because it's mechanically one of the strongest and it's loads of fun.
And there's no Nolan North.
There's no Nolan North. The characters in this are Chloe Fraser, who's an Australian kind of Laura Crofty kind of character. She's she's quite sassy, and you can never and in her in her early adventures, you weren't really sure whose side she was on. So that's quite cool. And the other character is a woman named Nadine Ross, who is a South African paramilitary.
Does she have a Leonardo DiCaprio South African accent?
No, she's actually got a pretty decent South African accent.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it's not being played by a South African woman. And the woman in question is also not black. So there you go.
I'm trying to understand what is... I can't understand. So the actress is playing a black character.
A black South African character.
But she's not South African and she's not black.
No.
What? She's American and she's what race?
White, I think. I don't think she's... I'm not sure if she's American. I don't know.
Okay, all right. I don't fully understand that. Yeah. I don't know why you didn't just cast a black South African woman.
We have
a shortage of actresses here.
This is the thing, is that the producers of this of the Uncharted series got quite bulleted by fans who were going saying why aren't you casting a South African black female to play a South African black female? And he said, because when we auditioned her, she did incredibly well and we thought she was the best person for the part.
Okay. All right.
You can take that as read if you want, or you can say you cultural.
Hang on though. This is produced by Naughty Dog.
Yep.
Okay. And doesn't a South African work for Naughty Dog?
Yep. I'm not pretending to understand.
I feel like this has just been brushed under the carpet, though.
It did not get brushed under the carpet, mate. There was a lot of guff ahead of the release of Uncharted 4. Anyway, so that's the game. You're treasure hunters. It's an Uncharted game. If you know what an Uncharted game looks and plays like, it's like that. It's kind of interesting because I think it's a litmus test to see whether or not the series can survive Nathan Drake, and this one makes a pretty convincing argument that he can.
Okay.
That having been said, it's not the most, well, it'd be unfair to say it's not the most interesting game I've played all week. It's a very good game, but the game that I'm playing at the moment is more interesting.
What's that?
It's called, here's the thing, I want to say Overseer, but it's not, it's called Observer. And Observer is a science fiction game set in a cyberpunk universe where you play a specialized sort of police officer called an Observer.
Okay.
And in the future, everybody's kind of cybernetically enhanced. People have processing chips in their brains and things. And the kind of interesting thing about you as a character or your profession is that observers are basically people who have been given the authority to hack the memories of suspects.
No, I unsubscribe from that future, please. I don't want what do you somebody think of messing around with my head.
You weren't listening at all, were you? You busted. Great. This is like, I now know what my teachers felt like in class when they were like, Mr. Cowan, why don't you come up to the blackboard and show us what we've all... Yeah. So did you get that? In this future, basically, policemen can hack your memories.
And see what you're thinking.
See what you're thinking.
No thanks.
No.
And it's very kind of Philip K. Dick. I don't know how much Philip K. Dick you've read, but it's Head Trips and Mind Trips. And it owes a very big debt to Blade Runner. And I think that they know this because, first of all, the character you play is played by Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
Who, if you remember, was Roy Batty in Blade Runner.
I don't remember that, but
he was the chief replicant, the guy with the white hair.
Okay.
Right. So he voices your character, number one. Number two, the beginning of the game has this kind of like black screen with white writing slowly scrolling up, explaining what's going on in the world.
Wow, I thought Hollywood didn't have any original ideas.
Very much like Blade Runner. And you know, like in Blade Runner, the scrolling message, the word replicant was in blood red while everything else was white.
Yeah.
The word observer is in blood red while everything else is in white. And last but not least, when you start the game, your character gets a phone call from someone quite close to him who he thought was dead. So immediately his interest has peaked, and he triangulates where the call came from, and it comes from this neon-crusted high-rise shithole. You have a screen in your car, which is set on a grid, and the thing triangulates and then pulls up one of the grids, and it goes boop, 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 towards you, like the Polaroid machine. And I think and here's the thing, I don't think this is appropriation or theft. I think this is just cheeky winks, because
just kind of like, oh, these fans will get these nods to these things.
But basically, you spend most of the time in this high rise trying to hunt down this person, which then leads to a murder, which because you're a and then the whole place goes into lockdown, and because you're a cop on the premises, you have to solve these murders. And you can switch between infrared, electronic sense, and what's the other one? Heat sensory vision, apart from normal vision, which allows you to pick up things like blood stains, blood spatters, pick up pieces of tech which may or may not be part of the crime. You can question loads of people in the apartment building. But one of the main thrusts is, like, when you come across somebody who's near death or a dead body, for example, you hack their memories to find out what happened.
And the reminds me a lot of Remember Me.
Yeah, here's the thing. Because the technology is not 100%, it's kind of seat of the pants.
Yeah.
A lot of what you see in there are residuals. So you don't see, for example, like a memory that looks shiny and new like it did in Remember Me.
Yeah.
What you'll see is like shadows, and you'll hear voices, and you'll move through passages.
That's pretty interesting.
And follow more sort of breadcrumb trails. I mean, there's one particular instance where you've hacked the mind of a woman who's been killed. And one of the things you have to do is hack through different parts of the door, and you do this by dragging a hovering television set behind you and plugging it into different outlets. And when you leave the television set on its own, it sounds like a baby screaming in its crib. But when you hold it, it's like you hear baby laughter. as you wander through this. Yeah, yeah, it's quite freaky.
No thanks. Now, this is just like a game of Nope.
Well, this is like a cyberpunk horror, basically.
Okay.
I mean, because here's where it gets funky, is the fact that, like, when metal melds with machine, like in most cyberpunk fiction,
yeah,
something goes a bit haywire in your frontal lobes. And at instances, the screen will start to become grainy, and your device that you use to hack people's memories goes, you know, your heart rate is rising, tension is rising, we suggest self-medicating now. And you hit a button and, you know, you can literally see a syringe push itself into you, and then everything goes back to normal. So essentially what you are is a state-sponsored, mind-invading junkie. And then because you start to run out of these drugs, the residual memories you started to play around in start to appear in real life, and you're starting to question, okay, what is real, what's not real. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sufficiently freaked out.
Yeah. What do you think, Lungelo?
I don't even know what to
make of that.
You're getting asked me at non-South African, non-black, playing black.
We're talking about a totally different game at this point. You're getting detention this weekend.
Me?
Yes.
Wait,
detention? Yeah, it's fun. I'll also take detention at home.
No, you'll have to come into Tribeca.
Oh, goodness, no.
I've had 100 times, I need to know more about games. But yeah, no, it's an interesting game.
What's it called? The Observer.
Observer.
Just Observer.
Observer.
Okay. Console exclusive,
how popular
PC?
Is it?
I don't really know, actually. I mean, there's only like a handful of reviews around at the moment. And
how did you find it, Bill?
Oh, it was literally sent to me by a PR company that occasionally, like, they pop into my inbox and they go, "Oh, you're interested in this?" And I ignore them. And then they said, "Cyberpunk horror." And I just saw that and I was like, well, I'll take that completely. And especially when you look at the trailer and, you know.
So it's not one of those massive games that everyone in the world knows.
No, it's made by a Polish developer. And it's set in Poland, in Krakow.
Oh.
Well, a neon-encrusted cyberpunk version of Krakow, which essentially looks like someone threw Blade Runner into the toilet. But, yeah, no, it's a compelling play. I'm not sure. It's got issues, I won't lie. There are instances where, you know, especially when they try to scare you with something, like, tangible on screen, it doesn't work very well. In fact, the idea of what's going on around you and the idea of what you're doing is more frightening than any monster they can stick in front of you. But yeah, it's quite a disturbing. It gave me a nightmare. That's a recommendation for a horror game.
Gives you nightmares. Mm. 10 out of 10. Mm. So I see it's available on Steam
and PS4.
PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
And as well as Mac and Linux, if you are on Steam and you are running one of those operating systems.
Yes. Yeah.
Seems pretty good.
So,
seems creepy as all hell.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, like I said, I find the idea that the authorities could just help themselves to your memories is...
Oh, my gosh.
You know.
That will happen one day. Oh. Mark my words.
Speaking of, like, helping themselves to our memories... Who remembers Cloudy?
I don't remember Cloudy.
You should mention that. So
segues neatly into what we're going to talk about.
So he sort of disappeared from.
He was supposed to turn up in court the other week, wasn't he?
No, he didn't.
No.
Yes, he was.
He was supposed to.
He's right. So the Labour Court, that whole SAD.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, so my husband and I went onto YouTube. We're like, you know what? Let's remind ourselves what an idiot he is. So we watched one of his videos. I think it's the most popular video where he calls himself an intellectual lecturer. Born intellectual.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I mean, we miss him, but we're glad he's gone.
I don't know. I don't miss him.
No, I miss, like, laughing at how incredibly idiotic he is. But, of course, I don't miss him, the man. I just,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get you.
But I'm glad he's gone. I'd much rather deal with an effective, smoothly running SABC than having a chuckle every now and then at a comical
Absolutely.
I have to tell you what, though. I met a guy at an event today from News 24, and he has a picture of him and Cloudy. And he's, like, in the picture of Cloudy, like this.
Oh, wow.
And Cloudy's like...
Oh, wow. And, well, so no one and can like, see
nobody
that.
Can see that, no, but it was flashing the peace sign, and then Cloudy was pointing at the camera.
And it's like, if I had that picture, that would be my Facebook profile picture right there.
Oh, my word. So speaking about effective media houses, we'll now turn on the other side, ineffective media houses. I don't know if you guys have ever watched the ANN7 channel or
once for comedy purposes.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, we all know if you if
it's
you
on
know,
the gym. It used to be on the gym when I was there, and then people complained, and they switched it over to ENCA.
Oh, I thought ANN7 was like in your gym.
In your gym complex.
What are they doing? Okay. Anyway, so I mean, I'm sure everyone out there who reads news regularly now knows that it has been, inverted commas, sold. And I say that because it hasn't been sold to a one Jimmy, or sorry, if he hears this, he's going to kill me because he now uses his African name, Mzwanele Mangi.
Yeah.
He used to be, you know, a top government official. I think he's best known for saying that there's an over-concentration of Indians in, what's this?
KZN.
My home probably is KZN, and they spread themselves out a bit and give black people a chance to thrive.
I do remember that. Yeah, I do remember.
So he's the guy who said that a good 3 or 4 years back.
Put his foot right in his mouth.
So he left government completely and has sort of been, I don't know what in this green planet Earth he does, but I follow him. I follow him on Twitter purely. You know when you follow Donald Trump, not because you like him, but you just want to see what
you're waiting for. That day when he drops something every ridiculous.
Single day, every single day.
You don't even need to follow him for that. You just go on Facebook and there he is staring at the sun
without glasses on. So Jimmy Mangi is one of the Gupta family's biggest cheerleaders, and I'm not even lying. Go to his Twitter timeline. It's at Mzwanele Mangi or something like that. But if you just go and find him on Twitter, you'll see what I mean. I'm not lying. I'm not kidding. So news broke yesterday via the Oak Bay Investments a statement from them. So Oak Bay Investments is the major parent company that owns the Guptas. It's basically the company that keeps chowing all of our taxes.
Yeah.
So
allegedly.
I like how you put that in there.
Allegedly.
It's the vacuum. So it just goes around across the country, into every single province, into every government department, like sucking all the money. So it sold the ANN7 news channel and the New Age newspaper to Mzwanele Mangi's company, which has been lying dormant since 2012, and it doesn't have an official office.
How did he afford it?
Listen. So, the official statement was like, no, we've sold our company to Lodidocs, I don't even know how to pronounce the name, which is owned by Mangi, and yes, the deal was worth 450 million rand. We're so excited because this means that 7,500 is a lie. Jobs will be saved, you know, because the entire reason why they were under threat was because the all major banks in South Africa, last year, if you guys remember, stopped
doing business with anybody connected to the Guptas.
They were like, no, we're no longer holding any Oak Bay Investment linked bank accounts with us because it's just not, it's tainting our name basically. And so I think at a point, ANN7 employees, well, basically media employees of the Gupta family, had to be paid cash in hand. So like the old days, brown envelope.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they had to be paid cash in hand because there were no longer any
banks that would deal with
it. Exactly. So the Bank of Baroda, which is an overseas, I think it's an Asian bank, was their last resort. And they at the end of this month, are going to be closing the Gupta Oak Bay account as well. So basically, the Guptas are going to have to build a house and stash all their money there because no one...
It's kind of like what's happened to the Daily Stormer with the internet, isn't it?
We'll get to that in a second.
Well, we're getting to that. Thank you very much. So, yeah, I mean, it looks legit if you read the statement.
But yeah.
I mean... As Mangi was being interviewed as the day progressed, it was actually revealed that the Guptas gave him 450 million rand to buy their company, which essentially means it's still theirs, but then it will be under his name in terms of bank accounts. And because he's such a big chum of theirs, I mean, it doesn't really make much of a difference.
Yeah.
So Brendan, I'm having credit or whatever issues. Listen, buy me this phone, I'll give you money. Go and buy me this phone, and I'll still use the phone. But it's just in your name and your credit record. So whatever.
Yeah.
So it's sort of.
It's kind of just using somebody as your bank account, really.
In front.
Like when you're 18 years old and you've never had a bank account in your life, and you use your parents.
Your mom, exactly.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I remember he was on TV yesterday on 11:07. and they were asking him, oh, so what do you think of the deal? And I was like, no, this is a radical economic transformation. It proves that, you know, the Guptas believe in, you know, improving the lives of black people, and they also want to save the jobs of 7,500 employees, which turns out to be a lie, because according to Africa Check, I don't know if you guys know, then they do data, you know, they check, well, they basically fact check.
Yeah.
So according to them, the New Age or ANN7, I'm not sure which one it is, only has about 300 employees, and then the other only has like 200 or 100 employees. And I mean, guys, which media house today still has 7,000 employees under one, you know, under one media house?
Maybe like Media 24 across of its publications.
Not News 24 only.
No, so not News 24 only.
It's a big
only.
Lie that they're saving 7,500 jobs.
You never know. You never know.
It's been fact-checked.
Oh, okay. Mm. Then you do.
And then Cope, shame, all four of them, said said they're going to march to the ANN7 offices today or tomorrow to demand that this thing be invested. I mean, that's just a waste of time, because I don't know. Even if there is a shady dealing, you marching on their premises does absolutely
nothing. Yeah. Well, then, you've marched there. What are you going to do now?
Nothing. So basically, the Gupta sold their media companies
to themselves.
They sell their media companies. They still own their media.
They gave somebody money to then sell that, and then they just got their money back. So it was just a transfer of name, really.
I'm just annoyed.
Do you think anyone's buying this?
No.
I mean,
no, a few people are. So, you know, there are people out there who basically think the same way that Mzwanele Manyi does. So they're like, yeah, white monopoly capital must fall, and the radical economic transformation must rise. Jacob Zuma is here to, you know, be the custodian of radical economic transformation of all black people. And so they were on Twitter like, yeah, congratulations. Oh, this means so much, you know, for black entrepreneurs and black businesses. Mm. It means, it shows confidence. And I'm like, no. It's not far from that. But anyway, so I'm glad no one is fooled, because, there's such an open book, it's not even funny. All you need to do is just go on my niece's Twitter account and be like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. He's just, you know, a cheerleader, and no one really cares about what he thinks or says.
I used to know someone who worked at the New Age.
I know a few people who work there.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Did they tell you about the boiler room? They work in a warehouse with absolutely no air conditioning whatsoever.
I pass, or if you go on the M1 towards Midrand, you pass by there. Mm. It looks like a proper thing.
Warehouse, yeah. Is it a warehouse? No, that's ANN7. I'm talking about the New Age, the paper.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I'll ask one of my friends.
I mean, for her birthday, I gave her a desk fan. So she didn't pass out.
Well, that's helpful. That's helpful.
She didn't pass out in summer.
I would have given it back to you.
Go ahead and...
This is like my birthday gift.
Speaking of employees, I was talking to one of them. I was private messaging one of the journalists who works there that I know. And he's like... And I'm like, dude, they're messing with your guys' future. And he's like, oh, we were only told about this morning. We found out on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, sure.
That's really nice.
So sell find out company, that you, but don't tell the people who work for it.
Feels like they woke up on Sunday morning and they were like, you know what, we need to sell this. And then Monday morning.
They had it planned for a while, because apparently the business that it was sold to was inactive from 2012, and then all of a sudden in June this year it became active again. So what's the shelved or dormant or whatever the term is, and all of a sudden it rose from the dead. In June this year. So they were already, by June, they were like, okay, let's get this ball rolling.
Last week, you'll remember that the Daily Storm was having problems finding a domain provider because they're a white supremacist website, and people don't like white supremacists, and therefore they should not be allowed on the internet.
Kind of, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what the chain of thinking is that everybody was going along.
It's a bit more official than that. It's kind of along the lines of like, you know, you're violating our terms and conditions by
being neo-Nazis.
Well, yeah, but it's not like they're providing a service for ISIS. It's very much a case of like, it's not that we don't like you because you're white supremacists. We don't like you because you're promoting hate. You're filled with hate. Hate, hate, hate. Go away.
Yeah. But what it started to seem like was that a couple of places were banning them just for having views different to their own. Mm. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, who we are henceforth going to refer to as the EFF.
Yes.
Not the political.
But not that EFF.
Not Julius Malema's EFF. came out and said that they condemned the ban from Google and GoDaddy, and I think there was another company, I can't recall, that banned the Daily Stormer from having a website on their servers.
Well, they just chucked them off their service, basically.
Pretty much.
You know, which I think amounts to a ban, but it's not the same as actually a ban, because, you know.
So I really like what the EFF said here. They said, even for free speech advocates, this situation is deeply fraught with emotional, logistical, and legal twists and turns. All fair-minded people must stand against the hateful violence and aggression that seems to be growing across our country. But we must also recognize that on the internet, any tactic used now to silence neo-Nazis will soon be used against others, including people whose opinions we agree with. Those on the left face calls to characterize the Black Lives Matter movement as a hate group. In the civil rights era, cases that form the basis of today's protections of freedom of speech, the NAACP's voice was the one attacked.
Right.
The group went on. So they raise an interesting point here, and I kind of see where they're coming from when they condemn the ban of the Daily Stormer, because what's to stop neo-Nazis or white supremacists, people on the Daily Stormer and all these people, turning around and saying, oh, Black Lives Matter is hate speech?
Well, they do, don't they?
Well, they do, but they've never been able to really action anything as far as I'm aware. But now they can kind of use this as a precedent and say, well, you took our website down, so you should take theirs down. Tit for tat.
Hmm. What do you think of that?
Should I start from the beginning or should I? So I think, didn't I? Yeah, I wrote that story, this story that you're talking about. And so for me, I even told Brendan this, that, listen, this is one of those cases where I'm not going to be objective here. I'm going to be completely in my feels about it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, fine, freedom of speech, which I think, that First Amendment in America is problematic. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Just because, oh, the First Amendment protects me and I'm allowed to do whatever in the hell I want to. It doesn't matter who it offends, hurts, or whatever. You know, they just use it as a shield way too much. I thought we were sort of bad
with freedom of speech.
Which is interesting when you consider how many Americans continually piss and moan about the fact that they don't feel that they have freedom of speech. And you sit there going, you do realize that in this country, what you said at that rally could get you banged up for hate speech.
Exactly.
Whereas in the US, you're allowed to say it. Mm-hmm. However egregiously horrible it is, you're allowed to say
it. You're allowed to even exist as the KKK. The fact that they're even allowed to exist is scary for me because, whatever. So for us, you know Oranya? I mean, that could be offensive for us, but it's kind of like, you know, on a scale of Oranya to America, listen.
I'll deal with Oranya.
Listen. So I think they shouldn't be allowed to exist, because as much as they hide behind alt-right, they are, like what you said, white supremacists at the end of the day. They're not alt-right. They're not just right-wingers who are like, oh, no, come on, guys. You can't let, you know, gay marriages carry. No, you know, right-wingers are sort of like, yeah, but they're not terrible. Like,
yeah, they just have like, oh, we should be allowed to bear arms and like all these things.
Right winger things.
Yeah.
So for me, I could totally agree with the decision by Google and GoDaddy to be like, you know what? I mean, I think from their side, it's purely a business decision.
Mm.
Even though when they released a statement, you know, they probably made it out to be a very moral, like, oh, we don't stand for hate. But it's a business decision at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I mean,
because they didn't seem to have a problem with it up until now.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing, that the Daily Stormer has had to move.
Exactly.
Yes, okay. It was hosted by GoDaddy.
That means at some point they submitted their application, like, went live, they wrote a bunch of stuff, and now because Charlottesville kicked off.
Yeah.
Well, I also think that it's like big companies like GoDaddy, all of that stuff is automated. You know, I'm sure there's a human somewhere along the chain.
Yes.
But I think a lot of the time it's, oh, is the dailystormer.com available? Yes. Okay, pay us, done. That's the last. We don't even need to talk to you.
They don't have a moral leg to stand on, but anyway, it's done. And so I agree with the decision. As much as we are allowed to freedom of speech, for me, the line is drawn where my freedom of speech infringes on someone else's rights to, you know, existence and rights of religion and rights of sexual orientation and all those things.
Yeah.
As soon as I call you bleep, 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 just because I don't like whatever you are, whatever you stand for, then my right to freedom of speech automatically has to be
forfeited, revoked. I believe.
I mean, yeah. be revoked. It doesn't, I think the boundaries are just so blurred, too blurred. And, you know, they're not just a bunch of people who are worried about, oh, will we still get to keep our jobs? They want everything gone. They want Blacks, Jews, Muslims, everyone.
Immigrants, just, if you're not from this country.
I mean, they're not even native to America themselves, yeah. First of all.
What did Stephen Colbert does a really good thing where
that was Jim Jefferies.
Well, Stephen Colbert did a similar one where he was talking on at some parliamentary gathering in the States, yeah. And he was like, "When my grandfather traveled over here on the Mayflower, he did not come here to put up with immigrants."
Yeah. He was an immigrant himself.
Yeah, well, he was joking.
Stephen Colbert, a comedian.
Yeah. Oh. So he was just making a joke about, like, okay. Oh, yeah, we don't want immigrants in this country. So our daddies didn't come over the ocean.
Ban, that's all I say.
Yeah, look, I don't really much care for neo-Nazis, white supremacists, anybody that hates on somebody based on their beliefs or whatever it may be. And I fully stand behind Google and... GoDaddy for taking their stuff down, but I do understand where EFF is coming from, in that what's happened now is a precedent has been set, and like we can't cry foul when somebody from the alt-right says, oh, this is hate speech and needs to be taken down. But on the same token, I mean, the reason that the Daily Stormers website was taken down was because they wrote a story about the lady who was killed in Charlottesville by one of the drivers and mocked her and made fun of her and, like, called her disgusting words.
Imagine.
And that was why they got it was taken down, because it was
the rights of such people. No way. Sorry.
And yeah, so I don't know. I'd really like to hear what our listeners have to say about this. Like, do you think that Google and GoDaddy were right to say no to Daily Stormer, which has, I believe, now found a home somewhere online?
Have they? Well, but eventually it was going to.
Eventually you're going to find somebody.
At the end of the day, there's always the dark web.
Yeah, I mean, they had moved to the dark web after the ban came out, which was really funny. Cause
I wonder how classified hate group websites we have here in South Africa.
I don't know. Well, I'm not really interested to find out.
Well, this is the thing, is that, like, when was the last time you went looking for me?
I mean,
life is tough enough.
I know the Avia Beer has a website, which I can't understand because it's all in Afrikaans.
Google Translate?
Yeah, but it's terrible. Like, if you try and translate it, it's like trying to listen to something that somebody that was translated from Russian to Afrikaans to English.
Wow, this guy looks fun.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. You know, are you using a VPN? That may have just been flagged. One day, look yellow. He looked up and said, "So."
Well, I mean, last week, I was sitting at home going, "I wonder what the NSA is thinking of my search history right now," because I've searched white supremacist, neo-Nazi, Daily Stormer, and then like I would watch YouTube videos and like, oh, this looks like an interesting one about white supremacy and all of these things. I wasn't watching them to like join the clan. It's just like a passing interest.
Tell you what, though, it did throw into sharp relief like Trump's comments the other day.
Oh my gosh.
Just because like someone just raised a very pertinent point, like he said, like you can literally shut down like this all sides argument in 10 seconds flat. Okay, imagine those protesters had been waving ISIS flags. Do you think that it would have been all sides after that?
No.
Not at all.
I don't even think a little bit. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks so much, guys.
You're very, very welcome. It's always nice
traveling
to be
all the way to Rivonia just to talk to me on some microphones. We'll be back again next week. Until then, from myself, cheerio, from Nick.
Cheers.
And from Longello.
I might be here next week.
Because you'll be in detention. There's going to be a test next week on Observer, and you need to get at least 6 out of 10.
No. I'm going to fail that test. Cheers.
Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.